Welcome. I am delighted to share with you self-awareness, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual through new thought, exploring relationships, health and healing, true prosperity, and metaphysics. These topics embrace transpersonal psychology, realizing that we are more than bodies, minds, inherited tendencies, genes, conditioning, or programming. Transpersonal psychology goes beyond the persona, meaning going beyond. We are spiritual beings going through a human experience. The topics were recorded in front of a live audience at the Victoria Center for Self-Awareness, where I was the founder, then the director, for 25 years.
After the meditation, we'll have a few moments of silence to envision world healing, world peace, having food distributed to all on our planet, and we include in that quiet time the heads of government worldwide, that they make their decisions out of the power of love rather than the love of power. Notice your thoughts. If your thoughts are in the future or in the past, gently bring your thought to the present moment, to right now. Place your attention and imagination at the bottom of your spinal pathway and envision silver-white light moving up your spinal pathway, all the way up, including your neck area and up the back of your head to the top of your head. Now placing your attention at the point between your eyebrows. And know as I speak these words for me, I speak these words for you in the I person. There is one presence and one power in the universe. It is the fullness of divine wisdom, creativity, and unconditional love. It truly is everywhere present. I am immersed in it. It is my very life. It expresses around me, in me, through me, and as me, now, in all ways, for always. Today, this morning, right here and now, I learn about honoring myself at a deeper level. I honor my feelings. I reveal rather than conceal myself. I allow myself to be with my feelings, to witness them. I release judgment and evaluation. I hold emotional challenges as empowerment to dive more deeply into intimacy with myself, to know who I really am even beyond my feelings. I allow the energy of God to freely flow through me, and I allow God to fully shine in my life. I am ready, willing, and able to fully experience and express emotional wellness, clarity, spiritual maturity, soul remembrance. And I am thankful for the capacity to do so, and I do so now. I'm thankful for this conscious realization of who I really am. I'm thankful for my world and universe and my relationship to them. Most of all, I'm thankful for life itself. And so it is, and it is so. Thank you. We're in week two of our adventure in faith, adventure being going to places in consciousness that we perhaps haven't traveled very often before, and faith being that inner conviction that molds and shapes our life, our conditions, circumstance, and even the relationships that we attract. Last week being week one, we looked at claiming our wholeness, and in this six-week series, we're looking at every area of our life: physical, mental, emotional, relationship, prosperity, and wholeness. Last week, claiming our wholeness, I made 3 points that I'll just reiterate quickly, that we need to have the willingness and the intention to claim our wholeness and healing. And I made the statement that we're all going to die sometime, die in this body, in this to this world. But how are we going to live till then? Are we going to create a lifestyle in alignment with that wholeness that we say that we desire? And then we looked at that word healthy self, and we took off the last part of healthy and saw there was a thy in there. So it's like heal thyself. Realizing that there is one presence, one power, one healing power, and we are immersed in it. So today's topic is come out of hiding, feel our feelings. Several points I want to make. The first one, and I'll get back to it in a moment, is some questions to ask. And you know, there's nothing that shapes our journey through life more than the questions we ask. And the inquiry we're willing to stand in. It's not about asking a question and immediately getting a quick answer. And it could be that. But it's to stand in an inquiry of a question, of a powerful question. Number two, clarity about what are our feelings. And when we say we're sharing our feelings, are we really sharing our feelings, or are we sharing something else? I don't think very many of us, I know I certainly wasn't, raised in an environment at home where we talked a lot about feelings and they made distinctions about what are feelings and what aren't feelings. Was there anybody here that kind of really had a home like that? That really kind of got into it. So we're learning. We're in process about this. And sometimes we'll hear about it and learn about it, and then we'll go in life and, oops, we kind of forgot. And then we can remind ourselves again and again. And then before we know it, then we're actually living in the context that we're speaking about today, about really coming out of hiding, owning our feelings, sharing our feelings, and that they're true feelings. And number three, the gifts that keep our hearts open. And I'll just touch on a couple of them. Let me go back to those powerful questions that I said, that nothing shapes our journey through life more than asking powerful questions and staying in the inquiry of them. I'm going to pause after each one, and I'd like you to kind of, you know, self-reflect yourself on these. Am I aware of my feelings. Am I aware of my feelings? Another question, do I fully allow myself to feel feelings? Do I fully allow myself to feel the feelings when they're coming up? No matter what the feeling is. Do I admit my feelings to myself? Do I admit my feelings to others? I made a statement earlier in the meditation about reveal rather than conceal. So one of the commitments to see if we're willing to make, especially this next week as we hold this topic powerfully in our life, am I committed to revealing rather than concealing? You know, many times in different topics when I speak about consciousness unfolding, we're moving from simple consciousness in through self-consciousness to cosmic consciousness in our own consciousness. It's an unfoldment of process. Animals contain simple consciousness. Some of them have a type of language, maybe we wouldn't call it language, but they communicate. The distinction between simple consciousness and self-consciousness, which human beings have, but we need to be placed in an environment that's conducive to its growth, otherwise we will only be showing up simple consciousness. In self-consciousness, we have language like words, and we can communicate to each other. Therefore, we can communicate our feelings, not only our thoughts, but our feelings. Another distinction between simple consciousness and self-consciousness is that we can reflect upon ourselves and we can say, I. An animal in simple consciousness, just stimulus response, stimulus response. An animal doesn't reflect, I. You may have the sense that your animal loves you, but the animal never thinks, I love you, because it doesn't reflect I. And I'm not saying it doesn't love you, but it doesn't reflect to itself I. Okay? So when we look at these things about these ideas of, and words around feelings, another word that comes up is emotion. Very easy to remember about emotion. Just take it apart. E-motion. Energy in motion. And of course, everything is energy, and we're in motion. Now, sometimes when we look at feelings and emotions, many times people label them good or bad, right or wrong, positive and negative. And I'm addressing a number of things and using as one of my resource materials today, and we have it in our bookstore, this wonderful book by Marshall Rosenberg called Nonviolent Communication. I really wish he had named it something else, because I think a lot of times people look at the title and say, I'm not violent, and they kind of move away from it. And I'll tell you, people that have picked up this book, I spoke quite a bit on it a number of months ago, and we sold like 20 books. They've come to me later and said, this book is invaluable. There's so much in here. Because it's like, do we ever communicate in such a way that there may be harmful, harmed feelings, hurt feelings? That's looking at nonviolent communication. So what he says in there, I like the way he makes the distinction rather than us saying good feelings, bad feelings, negative feelings, positive feelings. He makes the distinction, what we would call positive, he says these are the feelings that surface when our needs are being met. When our needs are being met. And what so many people call negative feelings are the feelings that surface when our needs aren't being met. Isn't that a powerful distinction? And if you look in your life, when you reflect back on the different feelings that you've had, if you still want to label them positive or negative, you can see that that's so. There's been times when our needs are being met, and there's times when our needs aren't being met. A very, very powerful book, very controversial book, written a few years ago by Brad Blanton, PhD, called Radical Honesty. And some of the languaging in that book is might be shocking and confrontational for some people. This is what Mr. Blanton says. Not telling the truth kills or gravely dampens the life of the withholder. Coming out of hiding and sharing our feelings requires courage and honesty and telling the truth. First of all, to ourselves. Not telling the truth kills or gravely dampens the life of the withholder. And another statement he made is telling the truth is interpretive by the mind, and he means the ego mind, small mind, is interpreted many times as a threat to its security. So the ego mind very many times will go like this, don't tell the truth, don't tell the truth. It's dangerous here. I'm being threatened. I really love Neil Donald Walsh's books, Conversation with God. And in his second book, he speaks about five levels of truth telling. And it will be inserted in your mailing this week. But I'm just going to touch on them and name them. And I'll just pause after each one so we can get the impact of what he's, you know, speaking to us about telling the truth. Tell the truth to yourself about yourself. Tell the truth to yourself about yourself. Okay. Tell the truth about yourself to another. Tell the truth to yourself about yourself. I may have said this wrong. Let me go back. Tell the truth to yourself about yourself. I said that. Tell yourself the truth to yourself about another. That's another one. And tell the truth about another to another. And the fifth one is, tell the truth to everyone about everything. And we laugh. It's that laugh of recognition, but we know what's behind that. In the reading that I read prior to the meditation, there were some very powerful statements made by Del Whiteley, and I just want to reiterate them about saying that we so many times habitually shove our feelings inside to come across as someone that has everything all together. And I know for myself, when I lead workshops, I let people know that there's tissues in the room and I will be the tissue fairy. However, when feelings come up, no matter what the feelings are, and especially if we would term them, so many times people would term them negative, but the ones that, like that, our needs weren't being met. Not so much that our needs weren't being met in the room, but we're remembering back to a time when our needs weren't being met. And we may cry. So I ask participants not to quickly go, there. That's okay. Don't do that. Allow them their process. So many times when we do that, there. It's like we're afraid to go there ourselves. So maybe if we stop them from going there, we won't have to look at that. Regardless of even, we may not even know what's triggering that, those tears. But so many times we don't want to go there. And have we ever thought that we may be inflicting violence on ourselves if we suppress our emotions and feelings? That's very strong languaging. Very strong languaging. And when we simply witness our feelings without judgment, we can transcend them. I love reading the comics. And one of the comics I always read is For Better or Worse by Lynn Johnson. And a number of Sundays ago, the Sunday comics, the colored ones, had this. The mother's looking at herself in a full-length mirror. She's going like this. It's not a very great face on her at the time point. And she's like this. And then she goes, wah! Wah! And her husband comes in and she says, look at me. I used to have such a nice flat tummy. I used to have nice legs too. I try to eat right. I try to exercise every day. I try to do things to retain my figure. And then she screams out loud, I wish something could be done to make me feel better about the way I look. And in the next frame, he's carrying the full-length mirror out of the room. Yeah, our laugh of recognition. So, second point, you know, like these were looking at questions and what are they and what aren't they. Be really clear and be willing to clearly be specific about saying what our feelings are. And this is where Rosenberg in his book, Nonviolent Communication, is so powerful. He has several pages. From page 42 to 47, he explains the distinctions between real feelings and what so many times people say and put forward as though it were their feelings. Have you ever said or heard somebody say, I feel that, and then say something? Usually what comes after is not a feeling. I feel like, and something comes after. It's not a feeling. I feel as if. See, if we can replace the word I feel with I think, it's not a feeling. That's a real good key. I'm catching myself all the time now. Hey, I wasn't taught with this growing up either. I'm in process with this all the time too, and I'm catching myself more and more and more with it. I feel I feel you. I feel she. I feel he. I feel they. I feel it. All those things inserted there, what comes after, are not feelings. I feel Nancy. I feel John. I feel that my boss. Everything that comes after are not feelings. Because so many times there's words that come after that that are about evaluating, assessing, judging and thinking, not feeling. I'll give you one or two examples. I feel unimportant. That's not a feeling. It's how I think others are evaluating me. Do you see that? Now you could shift and say, I feel sad. I feel disappointed. Because I think others are whatever. Ignoring me or whatever. Do you see the distinction? Another area. I feel misunderstood. That's not a feeling. Misunderstood is our level of assessing another person about ourselves. We could say, I feel anxious. I feel annoyed. That I'm assessing that I'm being misunderstood. Do you see the ownership? This takes great responsibility and accountability to shift to this kind of languaging. And first of all, realizing it, understanding it, and then making a commitment to use it in our life. I feel ignored. Not a feeling. ignore it as an interpretation of other people's actions towards us. Our interpretation. I feel hurt that you or whatever didn't pay attention to me at that time or whatever, or what I would have rather something else happened, and I feel hurt because of that. Do you see the distinctions? This is really shifting from blame to claim. At the center, we talk about that we're about generating healthy spirituality in the world. The healthy spirituality we talk about is no guilt, no blame, and no shame. And so much of it can start with this powerful languaging of nonviolent communication. There's one other section in the book that I'll just very quickly go over, and that's four points where he asks us to say something about what we observe, when I see, and then you fill it in, and then moving into your feelings, when I see this, I feel, and then speak the feeling, and then the third point is speaking our needs, because I am needing, and tell the truth. And the last one is a request, and I would like you to. You could use an example of, say, two people went to a party, and one kind of got lost for an hour or two. And the other one kind of was watching and saw say it's a man and a woman, and the woman kind of observed that the man was talking to every beautiful woman in the room and kind of didn't pay attention to her, and they came together. So a communication would be, when I saw you speaking to so-and-so, so-and-so, or whatever, I felt what? Not that you ignored me. I felt what? And tell the truth. Sad, discouraged, alone, fearful, hurt, whatever. Because I needed you to be with me for a certain amount of time there. I didn't know any of the people there. I needed you beside me that evening. I needed to feel important. And I would like you to have, and I would like you in the future, to dance with me also, or whatever. I'm kind of making this up as I'm going along, you know. But do you see the difference? There's a profound difference, and it'll make a difference in our life. See, many times, at the end of Love at the Core, one session just recently, we just kind of got into a circle to say goodnight to each other, and I said, how are you all feeling? Because we had a very powerful exercise that evening. And some people said, good and fine, and I just stopped. I said, good and fine aren't feelings. How are you feeling right now? See, when we say good, that could mean many things. It could be happy, excited, relieved. Fine. What does fine mean? I always think of Steel Magnolias at the gravesite with Sally Field, when the magnolias are asking her, the Steel Magnolias are asking her, how do you feel? And she says, I feel fine. And you can tell she's like dying inside. And then she finally breaks through to her feelings, and that's such a powerful, powerful scene in that movie. When we clearly and specifically name and identify our feelings, we can be more connected more easily and readily to other people, and they can connect to us. Now, I said earlier that I wanted just to speak briefly on gifts that open the heart. Now, one of the gifts that we can give ourselves is to just be with our feelings and to witness them. And to just relax and be held by something greater than we are. And you know, when I say be held with, we don't hold God as an anthropomorphic being someplace distant from us. But you know what I mean. Just kind of be in that consciousness of knowing that we're immersed. Two books that I have that have blessed my life immensely lately is Raya Mountain Dreamer's two books, The Invitation and her latest book, The Dream, The Dance, pardon me. And in the mailing this week, you'll get a copy of The Invitation. But she's made a statement very early in that book that could be rather shocking to some people when they first read it, but it is such a powerful and, I believe, true statement. She said this, and I'm quoting, "If we are strong enough to be weak enough, we are given a wound that never heals." Wow. Yeah, I see a few frownings. If we are strong enough to be weak enough, we are given a wound that never heals. Now, I wouldn't say that it never heals, but I would say that it heals to the degree that we're not run by it. But it doesn't heal fully, so that we're very... there's an opening that's been made in us that we can support other people when they're going through the same thing. When I think of my own life, if anybody talks to me or in workshops and they're going through stuff around their parents, perhaps they didn't feel loved or appreciated, I can resonate with that. Because that's one of my wounds. So I can resonate with that. When people speak about being sexually molested, I can resonate with that. I can have compassion with that. People are struggling with self-confidence, maybe feeling shamed. I've told the story many times about how I was shamed in grade 4, and I won't go into it in any great detail, by my grade 4 teacher. And after that, I couldn't read for years out loud to anyone else until I was 30. Now, I have healed that wound, but it's there to the degree that when I'm with somebody in a group and maybe we're going to be doing some reading orally, I can feel that someone in the group is really uncomfortable with it. Because I have resonance with it. I have compassion with it. That's what she's saying. So I'll read that statement again so that you can see the deeper meaning to that. If we are strong enough to be weak enough, we are given a wound that never heals. And she says, because she shares that in her first marriage she was violently abused, when I hear a woman tell the story about abuse, the bone in the center of her chest aches. Same thing if she's ever talked to somebody that's been raped, because she experienced rape in her life. She invites us to look at different things. Sometimes in a flurry of activity and doing what needs to be done, we forget that we can't change the past, and the words of the past must be, the wounds of the past must be tended to by more than getting on with life. Now there's a balance to be struck here, because you know, look what's happening on our planet. Did you ever in your wildest dreams think that in your day and age, in your lifetime, that we would be involved in a war and our country would be involved in a war? Now, yes, terrorism is about impacting our life and keeping us in fear. So it is get on with our life, but it is also feel the feelings. Do the grief work. You feel like crying, cry. And move through it. Move on with life. This is how afraid we are to feel our pain. There's no way out but through. Another thing that she powerfully reminds us is that a wound not felt consumes from the inside, and exhausted, some of us try to bury it with drugs, with alcohol, with overspending, with television. Anything to anesthetize ourselves. But remember, it also removes us from our joy. Because that's a feeling too. So in closing, I want to share with you what one of my mentors said in a very powerful seminar that I was at Palm Springs recently, Barbara Marks Hubbard. She said, this is what's happening on the planet right now, a real coming out of the closet, and it's coming out as our divine self. Our divine self. So at the center, we talk about, you know, enhancing our relationship with ourselves and others, and enhancing our relationship with our Creator. Not like there's us and our Creator. The Creator is everywhere, whether we want to call it Creator or God or infinite presence and power or divine life force or whatever. We're immersed in it. And we're getting more and more in touch with that. It is our very life. And we're kind of, like I mentioned last week when I held the crystal up to the light there, there's maybe a few areas in the facets of the diamond of our life, being our life, that we need to clean out, clear out. And one of them is coming out of hiding and feeling our feelings. So in closing, please take your orange slips out right now. And I'm going to ask you to say this affirmation with me out loud together in unison. And where the blank is, fill in your name. If it feels like something you want to be with this week, for sure, take it home, post it where you're going to read it at least every day. I've got one on my bathroom mirror and one in my day timer. Fill out the commitment slip and hand it in, and you'll receive a mailing this week that will serve and support you. But this isn't just the next thing to do in the program. I ask you to do this with soul conviction. Soul conviction. So together, please, out loud, inserting your name. I, Gail Schultz, commit to reveal rather than conceal my feelings. I clearly and specifically name my emotions to more easily and deeply connect with others. One day at a time, I make my dreams come true for emotional wellness and harmony. Right on. Thank you. God presence and power within me acknowledges and salutes God's presence and power in each and every one of you. And that's encapsulated in the word namaste. And I say namaste to you. Namaste. Thank you.